a large stone edifice carved to form the words 20th Century Fox. Searchlights at the base of the monument beam into a dark sky. Then a caption in golden capitals, 20th Century Fox presents a CinemaScope picture. Daniel M. Angel presents a CinemaScope picture. Kenneth Moore and Jane Mansfield star in The Sheriff of Fractured Jaw, produced by Daniel M. Angel and directed by Raoul Walsh.
As I sing to the hills in the valley of love, I love you, I love you.
With Henry Hull, Bruce Cabot, Ronald Squire, and William Campbell, Sidney James, Reed de Rouen, Charles Irwin, Donald Stewart, Clancy Cooper, and Gordon Tanner. Music composed by Robert Farnon. Title music sung by Connie Franks. Screenplay by Arthur Dales from a short story by Jacob Hay. An ivy-clad country mansion in the sunshine. A portly man with a cane crosses the lawn in front of the house with his butler and sits on a wrought iron chair. A maid arrives with a tray.
What's that? Tea? Take it away. Poison. I never touch it. Give me some port.
Sir.
The only possible thing for gout, port. Now then, have you located my nephew yet?
No, sir. It is to be assumed that Mr. Jonathan is still on holiday, sir.
But he started in May. It's now September. He's missing the partridges.
Well, he'd do that anyhow, sir. Mr. Jonathan is never happy with a gun in his hand, sir.
Nor is anybody else who gets within half a mile of him.
Your correspondence might convey some indication of his whereabouts, sir.
Well, I can't read them without my glasses, can I? Has anybody found them yet? Ah, Toynbee. Nobody tell me you got here. Where have you been?
In the library.
In the library? You won't find my nephew in the library.
No, I didn't, but I found your glasses.
Where were they?
In a French novel. Not a very nice novel.
A servant passes carrying a tray.
Just a minute. Where are you going with that? Are you giving a party or something?
No, sir.
Kidneys? Who are they for?
Mr. Jonathan's feeling a bit peckish, sir.
Mr. Jonathan? Where is he?
In the coach house, sir.
In the coach? What's he doing there?
He's working on his contraption, sir.
What do you mean, scarring all over the countryside for my nephew when he's in the coach house all the time?
I looked for him there on the 31st out.
Today is the 4th inst. Take that back to the house at once. Now, look here. You get down there. You're my lawyer. You tell him if he doesn't report at Tibbs & Co. tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I shall disinherit him.
Very good, sir.
Get on. At the double! At the double!
In the coach house, Mr. Jonathan works under a carriage.
Mr. Tibbs! Mr. Tibbs!
Ah, dear Mr. Toynbee.
Your uncle is instructed that you be at the office of Tibbs & Company at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Otherwise, you'll be disinherited. I have here a document dealing with the financial position of the company. This is scarcely the place to give you all the details, but I'm to advise you that Tibbs & Company is on the verge of bankruptcy.
Oh, my dear sir, how are you? You don't want to bother with Tibbs & Company and verges of bankruptcy and all that nonsense. Here, take a look at my latest invention. It's going to make us all a fortune.
What is it meant to be?
What is it meant to be? Mr. Toynbee. Sir, allow me to enlighten you. This is a horseless carriage.
What's the use of a carriage without a horse?
I will demonstrate. Now watch closely.
Mr. Tibbs sets a steam engine on the front of the carriage in motion. Watched by a suspicious Toynbee, Mr. Tibbs places a piece of coal into the fire at the base of the engine, then stands back. Toynbee staggers backwards in alarm. Tibbs smiles broadly, then jogs over to Toynbee.
So far, I've only managed to make it go up and down. But if ever I should succeed in making it go to and from, just think what that'll mean. However, I've made a few adjustments, and this may do the trick. Watch!
He pushes a lever at the back of the carriage, smiling nervously. Tibbs pulls back a second lever. The carriage starts to rock from side to side and the dials on the steam engine turn. Smoke rises from the engine, which has now caught fire. Toynbee scarpers out of the coach house. Tibbs runs after him.
It's quite safe, Mr. Toynbee. You can come back, sir. It's perfectly all right, Mr. Toynbee. It's safe as houses. Why, I'll wager you that I'll drive to the office in that tomorrow morning, nice and early, when it's quiet.
The machine explodes. A shop in a busy town street. Tibbs and Company, armourers and gunsmiths, established 1605. Tibbs, wearing a bowler hat and carrying an umbrella, goes inside, shaking hands with a man in a black waistcoat.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Tibbs.
Ah,
Mr. Tibbs, sir, this is a pleasure.
My dear old Mason, how are you?
I'm very good,
sir. Has Mr. Toynbee arrived yet?
No, sir, but he is expected.
I say, what the devil's this?
The gun is a Derringer, sir.
A what?
A Derringer.
Good heavens. Looks like a funny little pop pistol to me.
Yes, it may be small, but believe me, sir, it's highly dangerous. Do you know, sir, a gun exactly like this was used to assassinate Abraham Lincoln?
You amaze me.
Yes, indeed, sir.
What's all this sort of contraption?
Well, the attachment is a device that we are developing, sir, for gentlemen who might like to stroll around darkest Africa or somewhere, wearing a gun which will not cause an unsightly bulge in a well-cut suit.
Ah, I say, that's a perfectly splendid idea, eh? Well, how's it work, old Mason?
May I demonstrate,
Oh,
sir?
Please do. You know, I'm a bit of an inventor myself.
Well, you see, sir, it's fixed to the arm. Mm-hmm. The gun is held in place by a spring until the muscle is flexed, and then it is propelled forward into the hand.
Well, go on, show me.
Mason tenses his forearm and makes a fist.
It doesn't seem to work very well, does it, eh?
I'm afraid it isn't quite perfected.
Good morning, Joe.
Toynbee.
You're late.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Toynbee. So nice to see you, sir. Do sit down. Isn't it another lovely day?
Now, perhaps, in quiet, clean, peaceful surroundings, we can discuss the financial situation.
Yes, well, never mind the financial situation for the moment. Since yesterday, I've been doing a spot of thinking.
You surprise me.
You know, family tradition, responsibility, and all that nonsense.
Do you mean to say you're willing to enter the firm?
Well, you're probably right. Who'd want a horseless carriage anyway?
Mr. Tibbs, I congratulate you on your decision. You'll never regret it.
Thank you. Now, my dear Mr. Toynbee, my very dear Mr. Toynbee, what, in your considered opinion, is the quickest way to put this firm back on its feet?
I've never given it much thought, but I suggest that I'd say sell more guns.
Exactly. Now, I don't know much about business and all that sort of thing, but it seems to me that if you want to sell anything, you must take that thing, whatever it is, to the place where it's mostly in demand.
Very logical.
Good. Now, I read in my Times that they're having a spot of trouble in the West. I mean the American West. Apparently there's some frightful female there called Jessie James. She's shooting at everyone.
Are you proposing to take our guns to the colonies?
Well, they haven't been colonies for some time.
Once a colony, always a colony. And mark my words, one of these days they'll realize their mistake and beg to be taken back.
Yeah, yeah.
But to me, the place for a proprietor is within the four walls of his own establishment.
But don't you see, my dear old Toynbee, I could sell more guns there in one day than the firm has sold since the old boy started it in 1605.
America, of course. Coming in contact with Tibbs' guns, one of the finer things of life, might well raise the level of the whole country.
The point is that the place to sell Tibbs' guns is in the Wild West, and that's where I'm going.
A six-horse stagecoach races through a deep canyon of crumbling reddish rock. Beside the coachman, a man riding shotgun. Inside the carriage are three men, including a dozing Tibbs. One of the men is drunk. He pulls out a liquor bottle and slaps Tibbs on the leg.
Have a drink. Come on, partner.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Tibbs sits beside the third man.
Sir, I am the inventor of the Wainwright cure-all liniment.
Will it cure him?
I think he's applied some internally. That's great stuff, you know. It even makes hair grow.
Well, I have plenty of hair, thank you.
Yeah, but you could lose it. We're going through engine country.
You don't say.
The drunkard lunges at Tibbs.
Put your arm on me. Come on.
I'd better have a little drop. It might quiet me.
Excuse me.
The salesman moves seat. The liquor makes Tibbs' eyes widen. The drunk swigs the cure-all treatment. The salesman.
You going to Deadwood?
No, fractured jaw.
Ain't anybody ever told you about that?
About what?
Well, the Bucks Tea Ranch and the Lazy S started a range war over the water rights.
Really?
Brother, ain't you ever seen a range war?
Tibbs accidentally gulps the cure-all treatment.
No, I can't say I have.
Well, if you get in between the box tea and the Lazy S, you're sure dead. You see, the box tea men are out to kill the Lazy S men every chance they get. That is, unless the Lazy S men get to the box tea men first. And they're both out to kill a stranger in case he's on the other side.
Well, as I don't propose to align myself with either faction, I shouldn't have any difficulty. Anyway, sir, what you say is true. It should be a splendid place to sell guns.
Come on, have it, Fred. Come on.
No, thank you.
Sitting next to Tibbs.
Boy, you're a brave man.
No, sir, I'm not brave. I intend to mind my own business, that's all. Should an unforeseen situation develop, a firm hand. That's what's needed always, a firm hand. You mark my words.
The stagecoach rumbles along a dirt track. A group of Indians on horseback comes to a stop on a grassy ridge. The chief, with feather headdress, raises a tomahawk into the air. His men charge forward, waving their weapons in the air. The Indians gallop across the arid grassy plain and onto the dusty track in hot pursuit of the stagecoach. The Indians raise their bows aloft as they ride. The stagecoach shotgun rider sees the fast approaching pack and turns to the coachman.
Indians! Indians! Ah! Ah, George! Savages! I'd hoped to catch a glimpse of some while I was here.
Tibbs leans excitedly out of the carriage window.
There we are, bouncing along. Hold on to your hat.
It's not my hat that worries me, it's my head.
You think they're hostile?
Arrows hit the carriage.
Oh, heavens!
The man riding shotgun fires back at the galloping Indians. The drunkard sleeps through it all.
Well, it's ridiculous. Why doesn't somebody talk to them about this sort of thing?
Nobody who gets near enough to talk ever lives long enough to say anything.
An arrow enters the carriage, narrowly missing the sleeping drunk. An Indian is shot and falls off his steed. Tibbs peers out through the window.
If my grandfather Digby were here, he'd have those savages eating out of his hand in no time.
Eating out of their eating?
There never was a savage who could look that man in the eye. Put down a rebellion in Karachi single-handed, my grandfather did.
Through the window.
Savages! Cease firing! You know, I feel very strongly about this. Somebody should definitely have a word with these natives.
Well, if you can remember what your grandfather Digby said, I beg of you.
Any of you fellas got a gun? You better save the last bullet for yourselves.
Another Indian topples from his horse. The stagecoach cuts across the grass to another track. The stagecoach passes through a rocky ravine. Suddenly, the Indian chief calls his men to stop. The coachman halts his horses. The shotgun rider takes aim at the Indians who scatter. A few ride up behind the stationary wagon. Two other groups move round to positions on the flank. The coachman and his companion fire into the rocks.
We can't just sit here waiting to be turned into mincemeat.
Tibbs looks outside to see the Indian chief dismount his horse and scurry off alone.
My word!
Tibbs gets out.
Well, I don't suppose I'm half the man that Grandfather Digby was, but I'll have a word with our fine-feathered friend. Driver, wait here.
The two gunmen see him.
Wait, it's the last time we're going to see that Englishman.
Tibbs, wearing a long beige coat, bowler hat of the same colour, and using his umbrella as a cane, walks off into the rocky terrain, following the path of the Indian chief. Tibbs picks his way past boulders and up onto a high outcrop where the chief is lurking. From behind, Tibbs watches, hand on hip, as the chief creeps along the ground on elbows and knees. Tibbs, with an air of frustration, looks about him, then approaches the Indian who's taking a position, overlooking the stagecoach. The chief lifts his tomahawk and Tibbs snatches it from him. The Indian turns, one arm raised.
I don't understand a word you're talking about. Come along, sir, get on your feet.
The Indian rises.
Now listen to me, my good man. That coach was travelling at a legal rate on a public highway. Your interference is not only unjustified, it's positively dangerous. I won't make an issue of the fact that I happen to be a British subject, because your attack upon these American citizens is equally unwarranted. Now, take this rather silly-looking hatchet and trot along home.
There's a good chap. No hard feelings?
The coachman and shotgun rider see him shake the chief's hand.
Splendid. Good day, sir.
The coachman.
You seen what I seen?
I think I seen.
Kiwi! Kiwi!
The chief signals for his men to withdraw.
Why, that tenderfoot Englishman drove off all them redskins single hand.
Ain't nobody gonna believe us. Looking at him.
Tibbs trots back to the wagon.
Well, gentlemen, I think that little incident calls for a nice cup of tea, don't you? Driver, stop at the first place en route.
The drunk man stirs.
Injuns! Injuns! Redskins! Duck, everybody! Duck! Injuns! Duck, everybody!
Relax, my friend.
Redskins! Yeah!
The horses pull the carriage on along the track. Later, they pass a graveyard surrounded by a picket fence with a rudimentary wooden sign reading Fractured Jaw, Boot Hill Cemetery. The salesman to Tibbs.
Just past the cemetery. Filled up a bit since I was here last. That's Fractured Jaw just ahead.
The stagecoach passes along the town's dusty central thoroughfare. Inhabitants mill around the wood-fronted houses. Three donkeys are led along. The coachman tugs on the reins and the horses lurch to a stop. A man walks out to meet them.
Engines, eh? Why did you run into them?
Other side of Table Rock.
Well, it's a good thing they didn't have guns. Were there many
of them? Oh, about 50, I guess. Sure thought we were goners.
How'd you get away?
Man, was we lucky. I wouldn't give a plug nickel for our chances when they just up and chased off. One man done it, this here passenger.
Single-handed.
Him.
Him?
Is it a porter hereabouts?
Don't try to make a fool out of me.
Oh, driver, bring those cases over to the hotel for me, will you please?
A tough-looking man stops him.
So, you're the big hero.
How do you do? Tibbs is my name.
A gun slips out of his sleeve.
Confounded thing. You were saying?
Nothing, I wasn't saying nothing.
Two men on horseback watch.
Careful with those, they contain guns and ammunition.
What do you think, Keno?
He's fast. But I think I'm faster.
You may get a chance to find out. Why would a fast gun like him come to Fractured Jaw?
Work for the Lazy S, maybe?
He ain't working for me. And the Lazy S is the only other outfit hiring guns.
Want me to take him?
No, there's time. If he's just here looking for a job, I could use him.
A woman chases two cowboys out of a hotel.
This is a respectable hotel, you hear? If you two lop-eared sons of a burro want some more, just try and get back in here. I'm running a high-class dump, and the sooner the people around here realize it, the better off they'll be.
Oh, wait a minute.
Take it easy, Kate.
Don't give me none of your lip. It's enough you drunken saddle tramps shoot up each other without using bad language, too. Now, are you going to get here? Do I start in on you again?
She sees Tibbs.
Well, is the circus in town, or are you advanced man for a medicine show?
Good day to you, ma'am. Am I right in assuming that you're the proprietress of this tavern?
If you're a gambler, I run the squarest game this side of the Mississippi.
Well, I shouldn't call myself a gambler, although I have played a little bit of whist occasionally in a friendly foursome.
Say that again, will you?
What?
That a bit of whist thing.
I have played a little bit of whist.
He eyes her suspiciously.
Oh, those clothes, the way you talk. You're going to be the life of the party around here.
Really?
Never mind. What can I do for you?
I should like some accommodation in your respectable establishment.
Come on. I look out for strays, mavericks, and lost young'uns. I might as well keep an eye on you.
Inside, she pats a dog.
Hi there, Captain. They say the good Lord looks after fools and children. Well, I figure it can't hurt to give him a hand, in case he's too busy. Here, you mind registering, please?
Pleasure.
Here's your pen. There you are.
Tibbs dips the pen in an inkpot on the reception counter and signs the register. The busty blonde hotel proprietress, Kate, reads.
Jonathan Tibbs, London. Well, Jonathan, if I were you, I'd stay in your room after dark. Some of the boys around here, they play kind of rough, especially when they're liquored up. They got a peculiar idea of what's funny, and they might just think you're right.
Most charming of you to offer me advice.
Well, if you get into any trouble, just call me. We hadn't had a chef in Fractured Jaw for 6 months. But the boys, they generally listen to me.
I'll bet they do.
A boy runs in and whispers in Kate's ear.
What? Him? It ain't smart, mister, to play me for a sucker.
Sucker? Oh, no. I'm quite certain it isn't.
I don't like guns. Hide, floating, or on the prod.
Well, that's perfectly splendid. We have something in common.
I don't like smooth talkers, neither. I've heard pitches from Mississippi gamblers, Chicago traveling salesmen, and all of them. They don't go nowhere with me.
I do beg your pardon, ma'am. I'm a little bit confused.
All right. You had your laugh. Now, don't press your luck. Here's your key. It's number 6 upstairs. The rules are posted on the wall. Read them, mister, and read them carefully. And remember them if you want to stay out of trouble with me.
Tibbs raises his eyebrows. A man carries in luggage.
Thank you. Follow me. Number 6, my...
Wall reads, no spurs in bed. Top prices charged for any glasses or mirrors shot at. The girls in the saloon are ladies. Treat them that way unless they say you don't have to. Tibbs snores in his bed.
Come on, Kate, get it.
Tibbs wakes and sits up in bed, frowning. Downstairs, in a full bar, the men sit watching a stage. 6 dancing girls in pink and white file onto the stage. Kate slinks along in front of them.
When I'm strolling down the lane with Billy, it's a bright and beautiful day. Billy, Billy, any wonder why I feel this way? Oh, gee, given the opportunity, there isn't a gal in town who wouldn't say. When I'm strolling down the lane with Billy, that's my greatest thrill. Billy, Billy, you wanna see romance? Come over and take a glance. When I'm strolling down the lane with Billy.
Kate glides down off the stage and sweeps into the crowd, twirling as she moves fluidly between the tables. On the stage, the 6 girls dance in a set of movements that are timed to the music. Kate perches on the edge of a large round table.
Oh gee, given the opportunity, there isn't a gal in town who wouldn't say. When I'm strolling down the lane with Billy, that's my greatest thrill. Billy, Billy, you wanna see romance? Come over and take a glance. When I'm strolling down the lane with Bill.
She swaggers up to the bar where the bartender slides a small glass of whiskey to her. Kate necks the brown liquor in one. Men invade the stage. Cowboy Claiborne joins a woman at the bar.
Whiskey. Hello, Cora. How about coming out to the ranch and roughing it for a couple of days with Keno and me?
No dice.
All right. Come on over to the table and have a drink with us right now.
I'm waiting for Johnny.
He lets go of her.
Keno ain't gonna like this.
So?
Claiborne goes. Johnny sits at a table behind Cora.
Hey, Cora!
Going to Johnny, a man in black, Keno grabs her arm.
How about spend a little time with me?
Johnny rises.
No, Johnny, please.
Why wear a gun? You're safe behind a woman's skirts.
Cut it now, or I'll break a chair over both your heads. Forget it.
Thanks, Kate.
For what? Every time there's a shooting in here, I gotta order new glassware.
Keno joins Claiborne at the bar.
You want to kill a man over a girl, do it on your own time. You can fire me anytime you want. Sure I can. Until I do, I'd rather have you alive than dead.
Tibbs wanders in. Claiborne nudges Keno with his elbow.
And there's the reason.
Fingering his whiskey glass, Keno smiles at the disoriented Englishman.
Want me to take him now? Not just yet.
Well, I beg your pardon, young lady.
Your name's Kate. If you're talking to me, I just assume you weren't.
Well, I seem to have got off on the wrong foot, and I am sorry.
Oh, don't let it break you up.
However, I would like to register a complaint in my room, you know.
Now, that's just what I've been sitting up nights worrying about.
Well, I don't want you to regard this as a personal failure, but there's such a devil of a racket going on down here that it's practically impossible to sleep. No doubt you could switch me to a quieter spot.
There's one quieter spot in Fractured Jaw, and that's Boot Hill. And I think you'll wind up there.
Oh, thank you so much. Perhaps that porter chap of yours could deliver my luggage there in the morning.
You must think you're a real funny fella, don't you?
What do you think, sir? I've never been called that before.
You're liable to get called a lot of things you ain't never been called before, and by me.
From your tone, I gather we're having a spot of language difficulty.
Your difficulties with me haven't even started.
Tibbs approaches the bartender.
High-spirited, didn't you?
Mister, you better mean that real nice. You're gonna have 40 cowpunchers jamming their boots down your throat. And you can figure on mine, too.
Oh, don't misunderstand me, sir. I wouldn't dream of saying anything uncomplimentary.
When her uncle Two-Gun Billings cashed in and left this place to Kate, a couple of hombres tried to put their brand on her. They finished up at the best necktie party fractured jaw ever seen.
Oh, well, I'm a stranger here. I'm not altogether familiar with your local customs or the type of parties you have.
Say something against Kate and you'll learn all about him. So long as you're filling up space at the bar, are you drinking?
Don't seem to be, do I? Glass of sherry, please. Oh, very dry.
Mister, we got whiskey and we got water. We don't serve water.
Doesn't offer me much choice, does it? Nothing, thank you.
A smartly dressed man with a stovepipe hat smoking a cigar enters the saloon and walks up to Claiborne, who's standing further along the bar.
You know about that feller?
Only what the stagecoach driver told me.
You're the mayor of this here town. Seems to me you ought to find out when a new gun comes in if he's gonna make trouble.
That's the sheriff's job, not mine.
Since you ain't got no sheriff, it's your job now. All you gotta do is go over and ask him if he's lazy ass.
You will suppose he don't want to tell me.
We made a deal. Box tea in town 3 days a week, lazy ass 3 days, and Sunday quiet. He's lazy ass. He's got no business here today.
He just got off the coach.
I got a right to know, Masters. If he's lazy ass, the next time we find him in town on our day, there'll be shooting.
Well, I'll try to find out. But don't you start nothing, hear me?
The mayor sidles up to Tibbs.
Howdy, stranger.
How do you do? Tibbs is my name.
Masters is my name. I'm the mayor of this here town. I also run the General Emporium. That is 6 days a week, and on the seventh, I preach the holy gospel.
Glad to meet you, sir.
Yeah. This here's a friendly town, mister, and we don't ask no questions.
No, sir.
Yeah.
From what I've encountered, you'd only be confused by the answers.
Yeah. Of course, the man don't mind telling us what his business is.
Not at all. I'm in the gun business.
You're heading with the lazy S, I suppose.
Yes, sir. I intend to call on them tomorrow morning.
So just remember, I didn't ask no questions.
Of course, perfectly all right.
You didn't have to give no answers. I hope you enjoy your stay in Fractured Jaw, and just remember that we don't take sides here. Me in particular. Very particular.
Anxious, Mayor Masters returns to Claiborne and Keno.
Lazy S gunslinger, all right.
That's what I figured.
He's going out there tomorrow. So don't you start no trouble in town today, hear me?
You know I won't start no trouble. Anyway, I'm shoving out of here right now.
Claiborne makes to leave, and with a nod, Mayor Masters walks out.
Wait till I'm gone so I'm not mixed up in it. Then take him.
A waiter bangs a tray and the dancing girls, fronted by Kate, enter the stage.
When Susan left her home in Carolina and sailed around the Horn in 49, Susan brought along a pick and shovel, so her intentions were quite obviously fine. But she wasn't in Frisco a day when she threw the pick and shovel away. My, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. If the San Francisco hills could only talk. If the San Francisco hills could only talk. They would let us in on every little thing. How she got the go that she did and bring. The horses and the carriage and the diamond ring that she wears wherever she goes. My, oh my, oh my, oh my. If the San Francisco hills could only talk. If the San Francisco hills could only talk. We would have the answer that we'd like to get. How she moved right in on the upper set. And never even got her little finger wet. Or been dressed in Westerner clothes. Susan, Susan, really it's amusing. In Carolina, Susan would would get out and walk. But from everything we hear, you would button up your ear. If the San Francisco Hills could only talk.
The audience join in.
Susan, really, it's amusing. In Carolina, Susan would get out and walk.
Growing sorrowful.
And whoever bears her name, they would hang their heads in shame. If the San Francisco Hills could only talk.
Kate and her dancers strut off the stage, which is then invaded once again by the men.
I say she's magnificent.
Watching the spectacle, Tibbs speaks to the bartender. Keno eyes Tibbs.
Oh, waiter, can you manage a pot of tea and a chicken sandwich?
Ah, we ain't got one.
Keno takes a sip of whiskey, then slides the bottle along the bar. It stops beside Tibbs. Tibbs looks at it, then at Keno, who slides an empty glass across. Puzzled, Tibbs watches the glass arrive. Keno drains his glass, then treads slowly along the bar with it up to Tibbs, displacing two frightened cowboys as he goes.
How do you like our little nightingale?
Miss Kate? Oh, absolutely first class.
Keno pours Tibbs a whiskey.
Then you'll drink to her.
Oh, all right. Well, that's extremely kind of you. Thank you very much. Good health. And to Miss Kate, eh?
Tibbs downs the large shot. Keno serves him another glass.
No, really.
Drink it.
No, really.
I said drink it.
Tibbs does so. Keno measures out another shot.
I say, I really couldn't, really.
Are you telling me you won't drink with me?
No, not at all, but, you know, well,
drink
in the middle of the night and on an empty stomach and...
Drink it.
Tibbs lifts the glass to his mouth and swallows with a grimace.
I told our friend I'm not altogether familiar with the local customs, but this does seem a bit much.
Let's see how big a man you really are.
Oh, you mean it's a sort of contest? May the best man win and all that sort of thing. All right. I'm game.
Tibbs quaffs another large whiskey. Keno promptly refills the glass.
You know, it's a funny thing, but after the first one or two, it doesn't feel so much like drinking a porcupine.
He sips.
Or does it?
Keno eyeballs him.
Keep drinking.
No, sir. I insist. It's my turn.
He pours Keno a glass.
There.
Keno knocks it away.
Oh, good heavens.
Barman, another glass for my drinking friend here. I insist, sir. It's my turn to pay. You can't abuse the laws of hospitality. Here we are. Now then. Good luck.
Keno throws the drink over his shoulder.
Extraordinary. Oh, when in Rome?
Tibbs copies, hitting Johnny.
You dirty, stinking pole can't reach.
Johnny!
Johnny shoots Keno, who staggers forward. Tibbs covers his mouth as Johnny fires a second bullet into Keno, who falls heavily to the floor. His body twitches, then goes limp.
Great Scott.
What's the trouble?
Kate hurries to the scene.
It's Keno. When I heard the shooting, I figured you'd cast your chips in.
Good heavens, no. I was having a sociable drink with my friend when this man pulled a gun out and shot him.
Johnny, hit it out of town till he's buried. All right, boys, break it up. Check best to get rid of him.
But there's a dead man down here.
Come on, everybody. Drinks on the house for all of you.
Two waiters drag Keno's body away. Masters.
I never see Keno look so peaceable before.
How can you, sir, as mayor of this town, permit such a thing to happen?
I told the boys to do their gunning out in the open. Shooting matches in a crowded saloon like this can be dangerous. Some innocent bystander might get hurt.
Well, haven't you got any laws?
Sure, we got more laws than you can shake a stick at. The only thing is we ain't got nobody to enforce them. I hate to think what them Box T boys will do when they find out about this killing.
Well, this is preposterous. Good heavens, haven't you got a constabulary?
Constabulary?
A constabulary, a guardian of the law, a bobby, a...
Oh, you mean a sheriff.
Well, whatever the man's called out here who sees the law.
Mister, we've been trying to get us a sheriff for the long time, but we can't get nobody to take the job. If you could find us a sheriff, we'd be mighty grateful to you.
I've never heard anything like this before in all my life. It's the duty of every citizen not to shirk his civic responsibility.
That's right. Would you care for a drink?
Delighted. Good health, sir.
Same to you.
Tibbs drinks.
Oh, you know, this stuff isn't too bad when it burns away the nerve ends.
Yeah, it's a good one.
What were we talking about?
Sheriff, yes.
Ah, indeed. Now, it's vital. It's vital, sir. Select your man, go up to him, look at him square in the eyes, speak to him with a firm tone, and don't take no for an answer. Never fails, my dear sir. It never fails.
And would that be the way to talk to a man like yourself, for instance?
Absolutely.
You mean just walk right up to him and say, look here, mister, this here town needs a sheriff, and you're gonna be it.
Jolly good, jolly good.
Mister, you talked yourself into a job. Welcome to Fractured Jaw. Sheriff Tibbs.
Masters pins a star badge to Tibbs. Next morning, Tibbs awakes with a start, finding a double-holstered, bullet-lined gun belt lying across his middle. He leans over the side of the bed, clutching his head, then picks up a glass of water from a chair, and with the other hand attempts to push his wayward locks into place. Attempting to stand up, he loses his balance and falls back onto the bed. Getting to his feet, he totters round to the other side of the double bed and picks up a piece of paper. Reading it, he touches his sheriff's badge.
Mr. Sheriff Tibbs. These is all that was left of Sheriff Dalton, Sheriff Harper, and Sheriff Baines. If any of them fit you, good luck. Respectfully yours, Doc Masters. P.S. Their duty done, they rest in peace.
Tibbs takes one of two black hats from the bedpost, tries it on, and looks in a mirror. In the saloon, Masters and some other men play cards. Kate strokes Captain, the dog.
Tim, Sheriff?
Now, Kate, don't you go getting all hot and bothered about this here fella being a sheriff. I tell you, he'll make a great sheriff. He ain't nothing but a gunman, after all, and he's quicker and grease lightning on the draw. And last night I seen him stand up at that there bar and drink a lot of these cowpokes under the table and walk out of here as sober as a judge. I'll tell you, I do like me a drinking sheriff that can hold his liquor. Oh, good morning, Sheriff.
That's just what I want to see you about.
Yeah. Well, everybody in town feels a heap sight safer now that you're in charge of things, Sheriff.
I am not the sheriff.
Well, sure you are. You see that gun rack there? We passed an ordinance last spring saying that nobody could wear guns inside Fractured Jaw, not even the mayor.
I don't know anything about the laws your council passed last spring. All I know is that this is completely ridiculous. How can I be a sheriff? I'm not a citizen of this town. I'm not even a citizen of this country.
As mayor of Fractured Jaw, I hereby exercise my civil rights and prerogatives, and I appoint you a citizen of the United States of America, and I make you sheriff of Fractured Jaw.
He pins the sheriff badge onto Tibbs.
Now, you can have as many deputies as you like. That is providing you can find any men that'll serve with you.
Now, listen to me, my dear Mayor. Quite apart from all the idiocies of last night, this is absolutely absurd. I'm here on business. Guns.
That's all right. We don't care about that. Everything will be perfectly legal as long as you're wearing that badge.
Cold feet, friend?
No, quite warm, thank you.
Big talk of it when it comes to backing it up.
Oh, well, Miss Kate, really, this is just a little misunderstanding.
Is it? I'll get the coffee.
Oh, thank you so much. I could do with a cup. My head doesn't feel too strong this morning. Mr. Mayor, do you get the impression that she isn't terribly fond of me?
Well, you see, Kate, she only likes folks that pays fair and square, because that's the way she pays herself.
Hmm. Well, we don't seem to hit it off too well.
Well, she wants a good man for sheriff, just like the rest of us. Don't worry. She'll cotton to you all right, just give her time.
All the same, I wish she wouldn't look at me as though her stomach were turning over.
I'll tell you what. You come on over and sit in on the poker game and give her a chance to know you better.
What does she play?
Play? Why, man, she invented the game. Frenchie, Bellows, Carson, Jenks, this here's Tibbs. He's our new sheriff. Come on, boy, come on. He's a new hand at the game, but he wants to sit in on it just the same.
Hello.
Captain nuzzles Tibbs.
All right, Sheriff. Here you are. I'll stake you. He can take me back after the game. Cut him, Frenchy. All right, they're coming out.
He deals.
Hey, I have played a little, you know.
Where'd you play?
I met two gentlemen at St. Louis who taught me the rudiments of the game.
Oh, the what?
Rudiments, oh, rather costly.
I see. All right.
He finishes dealing.
All right, King Betts.
All right, French, it's up to you. What do you say?
I bet $3.
$3, you in? You in?
Yep.
All right, come on, let's get rolling here, boys. $3, Sheriff. Just put it out.
Tibbs shows his cards to Captain.
Now, boys, there is a tray. It's too bad that missed you, ain't it?
He deals them another card.
A pair of deuces.
I have a pair, Mr. Mayor.
They're all right. You bet, mister.
Me to bet. Two.
Captain paws the table.
Four. Thanks, partner. Four. I raise you four, gentlemen.
Sheriff, bet $4.
Silver dollars. Four silver dollars.
And you in?
I may wait.
What do you say, boys?
Golden.
What do you say?
Raise your five.
Man, raise your five.
Captain pulls Tibbs' arm.
I raise your five, sir.
Are you done betting, boys?
Yeah.
All right, hold it. Coming out. A nine.
A cowboy walks in behind them.
Seven. Have it out between you.
I'm to bet. I'm still.
Pair of deuces is still high. Pair of deuces.
Right, I'll go.
Captain signals with his paw.
Six. Six. I raise you six.
Man bet $6. He sees you. Okay, what do you got?
A pair of sixes.
A pair of sixes.
Three twos.
Three twos.
And gentlemen, I think the pot is mine.
Take it away, Paul T. Jordan.
Thank you, partner. Well done indeed.
Double snort, chick.
Right.
The cowboy.
See that fellow over there? Huh? That's Bud Wilkins, Lazy S gunslinger.
What?
Yeah, he's wearing a gun.
Well, obviously, if he's a slinger.
Well, go take it off him. Maybe he ain't here and we got us a sheriff now.
Oh, well, I'll advise him. That's the least I can do. Your pardon, gentlemen.
Straightening his jacket, Tibbs goes to the man.
So you're the new sheriff.
New indeed.
I heard you ain't allowing guns in Fractured Jaw.
The ruling isn't mine. I'm merely the custodian of the law.
He winks at Masters.
You gonna take away a man's gun?
Let's just say a chap hands it over when he's advised of the regulations, eh?
I heard about you, so maybe you heard about me. I'm Wilkins. I come to have you take my gun.
Well, how do you do? Tibbs is my name.
Extending his arm, his gun pops out.
All right. You got the drop on me this time. But I'm coming back. And next time I won't be alone.
Mr. Budd, don't forget your gun. There's no law against wearing it if you're leaving town.
Yeah. That's the stuff, Sheriff.
It's remarkable the effect this has.
The gun jumps from his sleeve into his palm. Kate smiles.
See? How do you do?
He draws.
The quickest draw I see in 50 years.
Sheriff, the way you handled that Derringer'd make my old grandpappy turn over in his grave.
I say, do you think so? It does work rather well, doesn't it?
It sure does. Say, how about you coming into my office? I want to talk to you.
Oh, with pleasure.
Boys, I never thought I'd live to see the day when Bud Wilkins would give up his gun to...
Sure, fast on the draw with that gun, mister. How do you work it?
Well, you see, it's on a spring. And when I straighten my arm, it pops out. Oh, well, it should pop out into my hand. It must need some adjustment. Ah, there.
Say, you know, I'd like to have one of them. To wear my garter.
She lifts her dress.
Great Scott. I say. Well, of course you could have mine, but... For wearing it on that limb, you'd be obliged to pull the trigger with your toe.
You let me worry about that. How much you take for it?
I should be honored if you'd accept it as a gift.
Oh, no, no, I couldn't take it.
Oh, no, really, I've got others. This is just a sample.
No.
Tibbs removes his jacket. Kate runs to close the door.
There we are.
Well, thank you, thank you. You know, you're not a bad sort of fella.
Well, you needn't worry about accidents. It isn't loaded, of course.
You mean to tell me you went up against Bud Wilkins with an empty gun?
Well, you don't think I go around with a bullet in it. The silly thing just popped out in my hand. I didn't mean to frighten Mr. Wilkins, although I imagine it did have that effect.
Tell me, are you tired of living or just plain stupid?
Oh, no, really, Miss Kate.
Here, take it back quick.
No, I wouldn't dream of it. I've made you a present.
Well, one of us must be crazy. What happens if some gunslinger draws on you?
Well, why should they? I've no quarrel with anyone.
Only with a lazy ass, because Bud Wilkins will get him all riled up. And with a box tea out, because you got mixed up in Keno's killing.
Oh, I do think you're exaggerating. After all, that chap Wilkins offered me his gun before he saw the Derringer. And that's that poor fellow who got shot last night. Well, we were the best of friends, drinking together and all that sort of thing.
I've seen some strange characters in my time, but you take the prize.
And you know, I've never met anyone like you either. I hope you won't mind if I say it, but I find you simply enchanting.
Well, let's say I find you different anyway.
Well, that's a beginning, isn't it?
Say, what are you doing in Fractured Jaw?
I represent the firm of Tibbs & Company, Gunsmiths, St. James's, London. I'm here to sell firearms.
Well, at least you should know how to handle a gun. That could keep you alive for a little while.
Well, I don't see why skill with a gun should be so frightfully important. But if it is to you, I suppose I could learn.
Tibbs, I just decided something.
Oh?
I'm going to teach you to shoot. It won't do any good, but at least I won't be blaming myself at your funeral. Now listen to me and try to understand. I wouldn't give 2 cents for your chances of living to be one day older than you are right now, but I always had a soft spot in my heart for a tenderfoot. So I'll do what I can to help you.
I never thought I'd appreciate being taught how to handle a gun, but it's wonderful of you to offer.
I'm not asking for your thanks. Personally, I think I'm weak in the head to even bother. Now come on.
Shall I bring one of my own guns?
No.
Is there a target range nearby?
No, and if there was, we wouldn't use it. Nobody's supposed to know you can't shoot or you won't live long enough to take a lesson. Can you ride?
I don't know. I've never really tried. But I can handle a pair of horses. And if it's any help, I asked that porter chap of yours to load my gun cases onto a carriage so that I could call on the trade this morning.
Well, that'll do.
They walk out into the sunshine.
Morning, Miss Kate. Morning,
Sheriff. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Allow me, my lady.
He
helps her up into an open carriage.
There we are.
Morning, ma'am. Morning, Sheriff.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Sheriff.
How do you do, sir? How do you do?
Tibbs climbs onto the trap.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Morning, ma'am.
He tips his hat.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Morning, Sheriff.
Morning.
Howdy, Sheriff.
They're a friendly lot, aren't they?
They're happy. They think they got a sheriff.
You know, at first I didn't take this sheriff business too seriously. But now...
Hi, Sheriff.
Good morning. You know, it's rather a nice feeling. It makes one feel good, even a bit important.
Oh, your brother draw one of the biggest crowds we ever had. In there.
Riding out of town in the horse and trap, they pass the Boot Hill Cemetery, where men are digging a fresh grave. Later, the pair stop in a meadow by a river.
Looks pretty good.
She twirls a parasol. Tibbs jumps down and hurries round to the other side of the carriage, where he helps Kate down, holding onto her waist.
We're here to teach you to shoot.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Kate takes a gun from the belt holster she's wearing.
Well, you see that?
She throws a stick into the river and shoots it in two.
You see?
Extraordinary.
Watch the gun.
Oh, right you are.
She throws another stick. It breaks.
I say you are marvelous.
Now, you try it.
Right.
He flings some weed into the river, missing it.
Oh, dear. That wasn't very good, was it?
It wouldn't have been bad if you were hunting rabbits. Now, try it again and hold your wrist steady.
He puts his face close to hers.
Look where you're shooting.
She smiles.
Maybe I should have said shoot where you're looking.
I'm not likely to win the first prize, am I?
Oh, give yourself a little time. Here, I'll help you. Come on.
He holds her.
Squeeze. The trigger.
He concentrates.
Well, that was a bit better. If only you could come along and hold my wrist every time I have to shoot.
Now, you try it all by yourself.
Right.
Tibbs lobs another clump into the river and aims. He misses.
Kate, you must think I'm a blithering idiot.
Taking the gun.
Forget it.
I'm not exactly what you'd call a howling success. I've come all this way to sell guns and I don't even know how to fire them.
So you don't know guns? How do you think I'd be pouring tea for Lord Watts's in a London drawing room?
Enchanting.
You know, I've never been east of Dart City. never been to a real theater. You'll laugh, but I ain't ever seen a man in evening clothes.
They're not very different in evening clothes.
You know, Jonathan, much as I love my home out here, sometimes I feel like I'd just like to throw my hand in.
What for?
A little of your kind of life with your kind of people and a few of the things in the outside world I don't know nothing about.
You might not like all that you find, Kate.
I'd take a chance on that.
Would you?
I sure would. I'd be out of here quicker than you could draw that derringer of yours. But why am I telling you all this?
To make me feel a little less the fool. And because anything you say to me, I want to hear.
This is silly. Come on.
Kate moves seductively over to the riverbank.
Come on, I'll teach you to shoot.
I'll never be any good at it.
And I'll never pour tea for Lord Watsis.
Lord Watsis will never know what he's missing.
The gun's reloaded.
Is it?
Six bullets. That's why they call them six shooters.
That's clever.
I got a repeating rifle, too.
Have you?
Oh, the latest model. I'll show it to you when we get back to... Why don't you kiss me?
I'd like to see that. Oh, Kate.
He kisses her.
Oh? Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, that's all right.
Their lips meet again and the gun goes off in her hand. In Fractured Jaw, a man stands on a veranda firing bullets into the sandy ground. Masters comes out.
I ain't looking for you, Doc. I'm looking for the new sheriff. I want him to know that I'm in town and carrying a gun.
Yeah? You know, you're a lucky fella. Mighty lucky.
How come?
Our new sheriff's out of town. You'd be a dead man by now if he wasn't.
Me? More likely him.
Him? Say, our new sheriff could give Wild Bill Hickok first draw and beat him to the kill. You hear him tell about them fellas can shoot the middle out of the ace of spades? Well, our new sheriff can shoot the middle out of the middle.
Oh, I don't believe it.
They don't, eh? Another one of you lazy-ass cowpokes is in here earlier in the day. Bud Wilkins. You ask him.
Bud Wilkins? You mean he took Bud Wilkins?
Just like he was a little boy. Don't take my word for it. Just hang around. He'll be back soon. And get yourself a big rep by going up again him.
Well, I ain't got time now, but I'll be back. Yes, sir, I'll be back.
I'll tell the sheriff you was here looking for him.
Tibbs and Kate, in their two-horse carriage, journey through a dry, rocky valley. Kate puts her parasol down, and smiling, she leans her head on Tibbs' shoulder.
Jonathan?
Yes?
Oh, nothing. I just like to say your name.
He smiles.
Tell me, Kate, can a man support a wife on a sheriff's salary?
Sheriffs don't have wives. They have widows.
Well, if that's the procedure out here, you're going to make a very charming widow.
Jonathan, when you're planted in Boot Hill, will any fair lady from London come and place flowers on your grave?
Ah, we won't talk about the past. My future's out here, with you.
Well, if that's an English proposal, I'll accept.
Hey! Hey!
Tibbs gazes around him.
Hey!
Hey! Kate, Kate, Kate!
A wall of rock reflects the sound.
Jonathan!
Jonathan!
Thick columns of reddish rock tower over them. Kate breaks into song.
As I sing to the hills in the valley of love, I love. From the hills to the valley of love, I love you,
I love you.
They ride on past a sheer wall of rock with overhangs and smooth ripples that have been carved by the wind. Tibbs gazes fondly at Kate sitting beside him, her parasol up. Their trap enters Fractured Jaw, where a man on horseback greets them. Kate touches Tibbs' badge.
Better take that thing off before somebody uses it for target practice.
Tonight I'll ask the mayor to find a replacement.
Tonight could be too late.
Well, I can't just walk away, even though I'm not much good as a sheriff.
Don't walk, run.
Now that wouldn't be a very sporting thing to do, could it?
Nobody in Fractured Jaw ever heard of a sporting thing, and you're being a bull-headed jackass.
Woo!
Tibbs reins in the horses.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Why, you no good, contrary, unreasonable!
Kate hops down from the carriage and struts onto the hotel veranda. Then her movements soften. She smiles, shaking her head at Tibbs.
But they don't teach my kind of English in your schools.
Then that shows a great weakness in the English educational system.